Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education.
Sean Corbett spent most of his 20s and 30s hoping to be able to make it to at least his 60s. But now, he's feeling optimistic he can live an even more typical lifespan. When Sean was only 20 years old, he was diagnosed with von Hippel-Lindau disease, also known as VHL disease, which resulted in the removal of 40 tumors and multiple brain surgeries that would leave him temporarily paralyzed. Years later, he was diagnosed with VHL-related kidney cancer. Right before he was about to undergo yet another surgery, the FDA approved Welireg for patients with VHL disease, giving Sean a non-surgical treatment option. In today's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, Sean explains what it was like to receive a diagnosis of a rare genetic disease as a young adult, how his life has changed since going on the new medication, his work with the VHL Alliance, his advice for patients with VHL disease, and more.
So first, tell me how old you are, where you live, what you do, just a little bit about you.
So I'm currently 36 years old. I live in the Denver, Colorado area. I am currently a media director.
Okay.
I work at a cybersecurity company called WordFence.
All right. And so you have VHL disease, is that right?
I do, yeah. I found out I had VHL in 2007.
Tell me a bit about the disease and what it means to live with that disease, how it impacts your life.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to when I found out because it was kind of an interesting story.
Sure.
I got sick for about 6 months. I was throwing up every morning, nauseous most of the time, and for a long time they could not figure out what was going on. And I thought I had a pinched nerve in my neck, and we went in to have a MRI of my neck, and the radiologist came back in and said, "We're going to do an MRI of your head now." And within a couple hours, they had me in the neurosurgeon's office ready for emergency surgery because they found a brain tumor that had been growing for about 6 months.
And
they resected that. And at that time, they didn't know that it was VHL. My family doesn't have VHL. And as you probably know, VHL is a hereditary disease. This was completely a blindside for us. And so they had it resected, and my neurosurgeon was smart enough to see that the location of the brain tumor and the fact that it was made of essentially blood vessels only clued him into this might be something that is related to VHL. So he sent it off to Harvard, had it sequenced, and sure enough, it came back with a VHL mutation. And so I'm first in family. Nobody else, my sister, my mom, and my dad, and none of my grandparents have it. Yeah, since then, so that was the first brain tumor. I was paralyzed for about 6 months after that surgery because it had gotten so far. The nerve damage after surgery was pretty severe. So I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to write. I was in the middle of college at the time for engineering, and it obviously made things even harder. It was hard enough with a brain tumor. It's even harder when you're paralyzed and recovering. So I took some time off and rethought about what I was doing, and then went back to college for journalism. And right after I graduated, they found another brain tumor, and that was in about 2015.
And you knew that that was a risk of this disease, that you could get tumor after tumor, right?
Correct. At that point, we were on the new schedule that the VHL Alliance puts out, and that was, you know, yearly scans. MRIs, CT scans of, you know, your kidneys, all that kind of stuff. So they actually found 9 brain tumors on one scan. And so they went in and they treated me with what's called Gamma Knife. And that Gamma Knife treatment did very well on 8 of the tumors. But over the next 9 months, I suffered through severe radiation sickness, essentially what you have when you have chemotherapy. And they found out that one of the tumors didn't take the radiation well, and it kept growing. And so then they had to go in and resect that. And that was my second brain surgery, and that was 2015. And so had that. I got out of that a lot easier. Still had to relearn to walk, but it only took about 5 days that time. And then, let's see. And since then, it's really been a lot of operations on my brain, but we've stuck strictly to the Gamma Knife therapy. And so I had 40 total tumors treated with the Gamma Knife therapy. All but the one that we had to resect were successfully treated. Yeah, and I do have, you know, 12 pancreatic tumors right now. I have 3 spinal tumors. And then I had, you know, the solid mass lesions in my kidneys that they just are pretty sure are the kidney, clear cell renal cell carcinoma.
What will they be doing about these spinal and pancreatic tumors?
I began taking Welireg, started taking that in October of last year. Coming up in a couple of weeks here, it'll be my 1 year anniversary of taking that. Taking 120 milligrams a day, three pills a day at night. We did baseline scans right before I started taking it just so we could see the exact effects of it during the study, or while I was taking it, I should say. And in July, August, and June, we started doing those scans, and every single scan across the board showed a reduction in all of the existing tumors that I had by anywhere from 20 to 50%. Every
that
single one.
Incredible.
Every single one, except for one single tumor. I should, and with the caveat of one single tumor in my brain. According to the docs and Dr. Lamb looking at everything, literally everything is shrinking. I had to go to the a couple of nights ago, and they did another MRI of my brain, and it showed that one of the tumors is still shrinking another 2 millimeters since August even. So.
Wow. And so is the expectation that these tumors could continue to shrink, or do they feel like you've now reached a point that they're just going to hold steady, or what's the prognosis here on this medication?
Well, we only have, you know, it's only the one scan. So the next scan we get here in the next few months will kind of tell us if that shrinking is tapering off. To, you know, we've had a lot of studies through the VHL Alliance. They'll bring in a lot of the researchers who did the initial studies through the FDA. They showed us the longitudinal graphs of tumor reduction, and there were patients that plateaued, and then there were patients that saw complete tumor reduction, and the tumors were gone. And it was massive efficacy. I don't know if you've seen the efficacy of the drug, but it was for some of the tumors, I think some of the hemangioblastomas were like 90% efficacy, which was crazy. And that's kind of where I'm sitting right now.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. How has this changed your life? I mean, I'm hearing you're a guy who's had 40 surgeries in the last, 15 years. How has this changed your life?
Believe it or not, I'm still kind of realizing the change that it's given me mentally. You know, when I found out at 20 years old that I had this disease, it was a lot of woe is me. You know, you find out you have a genetic cancer at 20. It's a very unfair diagnosis. The old VHL maximum average lifespan was somewhere like in the 60s when I first found out, and that was what I was preparing for, was possibly making it to my 60s. And then now you have something like this, and it's a complete game changer. One, it possibly increases your lifespan to something that's more normal, if not completely normal. And then at the same time, you're removing all of these, what were guaranteed surgeries that I was going to have over time that were, you had no idea when they would come, but you knew they would. And with me, it was guaranteed brain surgeries and so traumatic. I mean, it affects everything in your life, relationships, physical, career, everything in your life is completely affected for months, years, and sometimes up to a decade. I'm still dealing with issues from that first brain surgery in 2007. So the idea that I don't have to have any more of those is completely life-changing, and every time I see somebody that's had anything to do with the development of that drug, I let them know how thankful I am.
Oh, yeah, of course. What's it like being on the drug? You told me that it's three pills a day. For now, you'll just continue to take it indefinitely. Is that the idea?
It is for now. Dr. Lamb said, you know, it's one of those things. She's like, you know, if you get to a point and, you know, who knows? We don't know because there's been so few patients on this. She's like, if you get to a point and all your tumors disappear, she's like, we'd be stupid to keep you on it. You know, she basically said at that point, we would definitely look at taking me off of the drug because there are side effects. The anemia that comes with it, that's essentially, it is guaranteed. And I'm dealing with hemoglobin levels, you know, at around 14, which if you look at it like a blood chart, when they take your blood labs, you know, 14 is when they start getting worried. With the low hemoglobin, and I'm also living in Denver at a little bit higher altitude, I get winded really quickly and I get exhausted pretty quick. I don't have the red blood cells to carry I don't have as many red blood cells to carry as much oxygen through my body. So the oxygen that I do have, while I do keep my oxygen percentages in my blood pretty high, it gets used up a lot quicker. I have a pulse oximeter that I have to keep at home and monitor my oxygen levels.
How did you come to find out about the renal cell carcinoma? Was that at the same time that you found out about the pancreatic and spinal tumors?
Yeah, that was just part of my yearly scans that I was getting. We alter between ultrasounds and CAT scans for the radiation. We try to limit the radiation on our bodies anywhere we can. So by doing the ultrasounds every other year, it kind of does that. But the ultrasounds, for whatever reason, the ultrasounds weren't finding stuff. And then we went to these very thin, slitted CAT scans, and that's where they were finding stuff. So yeah, they ended up finding solid mass lesions on probably 2016. We found some of those on both kidneys.
Okay. And then when did you get on the HIF-2 alpha inhibitor?
That was October 30th of 2021.
Of 2021. So you got on it. You weren't a part of the clinical trial. You got on it after it was approved by FDA. Is that right?
I was almost immediately. I was in Dr. Lamb's ear trying to get that.
So what were they doing to treat your cancer, your kidney cancer, prior to that, from 16 to 21?
So it was a monitor situation. And then once with VHL, once it gets to 2 centimeters, once a solid mass lesion that's confirmed to be clear cell renal cell carcinoma gets to 2 centimeters, they would go in. And at that point, you usually have quite a few of the lesions. You don't just grow one. VHL will grow a few of them. So at that point, they would go in and they would lop out the largest one, and then they take out all the other ones. And the reason they did that is because the kidneys are so sensitive. The more operations you do on them, the more scarring. And so they said, let's wait until one gets to 2 centimeters, 2 centimeters being the rule, because I think it was 90% of clear cell renal cell carcinomas with VHL patients at 2 centimeters, that's the point they began to metastasize.
Wow. Kind of wait till the last minute to get in there.
Very, very last minute, exactly. And then they take out as many as they can. And I believe it's like a cryoablation is the technique they use. I've never had that.
Get that far. They were monitoring it and you didn't get that far.
Correct. Yeah, I had one that was approaching 2 centimeters and it had a cystic component to it as well. Since then, no, those have all actually shrunk by more than 50%.
Before you got to the point of needing that surgery, before you got to that cutoff point, that new drug got approved and you were able to do that instead?
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. That's pretty incredible. And so you told me that it not only shrunk the tumors on your kidneys, which is what they were studying it for, but it also has shrunk these other tumors as well, everything except the one that's in your brain.
Correct. And I had gamma knife surgery in August on 11 brain tumors. So I'm not really counting anything that's going on in the brain as related to belzutifan, including the growth. I think that is related to the radiation. But everything else has shrunk. So spinal tumors, which are also hemangioblastomas, the same that are in the brain, those have shrunk. Those are actually the most worrying to me, believe it or not. My spinal surgeon, I've never seen more. Most of my surgeons are pretty calm and collected, but every time I talked to my spinal surgeon, it was always this very worried look, like, if it grows anymore, like, I got to go in. He's like, and I really don't want to go in based on where those are at. They're up in my cervical spine.
Wow.
So some damage there would be complete, below the neck paralysis. So, but those have shrunk as well.
That is so incredible. What a great story.
It really is a medical miracle.
Yeah, it's like I would imagine it feels like you just have a whole new lease on life.
It is, and it's. I still have not quite gotten a grasp of it, but it's amazing.
That's incredible. Now, you talked about the anemia and the breathlessness. Is there anything else? Are you dealing with like nausea and those sorts of things, or pretty much day to day you're feeling okay?
Everything else is good. It's just, I'm a little lethargic, a little bit tired. I might take a nap in the middle of the afternoon, which my boss is totally fine with. I work remote.
That's great.
Yeah, they're cool with that. And then, just a little bit of breathlessness here and there. I've gone up to altitude. They've said don't go above 10,000 feet. I think I've gone up to like 9,000 here in the mountains. And I felt fine. So airplanes are fine. all that
yeah.
stuff.
Would you give any advice to other patients who are considering trying this treatment?
It's really important to journal and take note throughout the day of how you're feeling and how those things are changing, because it is such a new drug. I think the one thing, like I said earlier, it's, you know, there's no way to Google or look up some Reddit forum about like what maybe 350 other people experienced on this drug and be like, oh, okay, I get it. I can calm down. Make sure that you're in contact with a couple other patients that have it, because I do have some other VHL patients that I can reach out to and say, you know, hey, how's your heart rate doing? And how's your blood pressure doing? We were all kind of worried about that at first. Our heart rates and our blood pressures were doing some interesting things, but they've all leveled up now.
How did you get to meet other people who take this medication as well?
So this is all through the VHL Alliance. So when I found out I had VHL, I went almost a decade without knowing a single other person that had VHL. And so there's, you know, it's 1 in 30,000 or something like that. There's 10,000 of us in the U.S. And so at that time, there was something called the VHL, I can't remember what it was, but they eventually changed to the VHL Alliance. And somebody reached out to me at some point and said, hey, I noticed your name was in our books, and I noticed that you do, I think they found me on Facebook, like, I noticed you do video. Do you want to do a documentary for us? And I said, sure, I'll come shoot a little documentary for you. And ever since then, I've been very well connected to, like, the admin within that. And they were critical. The VHL Alliance was absolutely critical in getting belzutifan and Welireg approved, and a lot of the funding that they've been doing, they raise millions and millions of dollars every year.
That's incredible. That's great.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of a cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter @cure_today, Facebook @Cure Magazine, or Instagram @CureToday.